Hi, this is Kane & Rinse contributor Tom Quilfelt. I became fascinated with in-game photo modes over the last few years and wanted to really dive into what it is about them that is so compelling. So I approached Jay at the Kane & Rinse team and we roped in photojournalist and games writer Gary Dutton to get to the bottom of why we're all so passionate about taking pictures of game worlds and characters. So here's our slightly freewheeling chat about video game photo modes, also the art, design and architecture of games, as well as some chat about real-life photography. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, so hi Gary, hi Jay. We are here to talk about photo modes in games, which seem to have become a thing of late. I'm mainly excited because I just spent absolutely ages taking about 1,000 screenshots in Horizon Zero Dawn. And before that, another 1,000 screenshots in Uncharted 4, two uncommonly beautiful PS4 games. A quick personal history. I sort of got into photo modes with Wipeout HD and got totally obsessed with that to the point where it would ruin most races, where I'd have to stop at just the perfect moment when a weapon went off to kind of swing the camera around and do some arty shots. But I guess I was always drawn to the idea of being able to get particularly beautiful vistas from games onto my computer desktop, to the point where I would actually take photos of the TV whilst playing Uncharted 2 because it was so pretty. And also games like The Witcher 3, which don't have a photo mode, I'd sort of turn as much of the HUD off as possible and try and take as clear pictures as possible and then edit the screenshots later. So I would go to some lengths. So it's really amazing to me that that developers would choose to sort of give people access to their engines and to their games as they actually move. And the first one I really got into was when The Last of Us Remastered came out, and I just thought it was such a nice touch. So Gary, have you had much experience with photo modes?
I started when I was playing Wolfenstein: The New Order. And yes, you'll correctly identify that there isn't a photo mode in that game, but I was just inspired by it because that game in general was surprisingly brilliant, especially with its story. And there's this death camp level, which is like just crazy. And then once you complete that, you rescue people from it, and they all come back to your safe house, which is where you sort of, it's kind of a change of pace in between stages where you wander around and you can talk to people and progress the story if you want, or you can just go straight back into to the next stage. But it's this sort of really cool story device in the middle of the game where, you know, as the game progresses, that space changes with different people populating it and different things. And I just thought the art direction in it was so good. And then when these characters came in, when these sort of death camp survivors come in and you take them in as refugees, I guess, everything was just so meticulously placed and everyone was put in these different places and the lighting was beautiful and there's all these little mini stories going around. So I decided to, I got hold of Midnight Resistance and said, I'm going to do an article as if I'm reporting on the secret location, the hideout, as like an investigative photographer. And then I took all these shots using PS4's share button, got them onto my computer and just kind of painstakingly photoshopped out the HUD in them, which took ages, just sort of cloning out the HUD and things just to make this little sort of fake photo documentary on it. And then from there, I just kind of started looking into other ones and whether they had a photo mode or not. It was nicer when you could take the HUD off things, but then I sort of did Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and wrote about that. Bloodborne, I think I did Bloodborne for Vice Gaming, which is now Waypoint. And then, yeah, just sort of whether it had a photo mode or not, just had a go at it. And Bloodborne was a particularly weird one because you could take the HUD away, but then there's a monocular item which kind of zooms in a bit. You can look through it. But then if you do that, and then make the character sit down with a sit down emote, the camera stays where it is, but he sits, your character sits out of the way of the shot, and then you couldn't kind of do it that way, so you can really kind of fudge it, but there, that took a very long time. So when I actually got onto the real photo modes, like with The Last of Us, the sort of the, you know, the HD remake of that, it was like a playground for me. I was in heaven, you know, and playing with it. And so I've just kind of gone through from fudging it myself to going on to one games with real photo modes like Uncharted 4 and Last of Us, and things like that, and GTA 5 as well, which is kind of a halfway house because it gave you an in-game camera. But yeah, so I've had a good go with quite a few of them, but all kind of through PS4 essentially.
Yeah, and that's interesting for two reasons. One, it seems to be that Sony, for some reason, I feel like Sony and PlayStation are pushing this particular trend. Although I'm sure if you talked to PC modders, there's a community of people who've been doing this for years by breaking into the engine, as it were, and also that in games without official photo modes, just going to these extreme lengths to try and, that really resonates with me, trying to get the perfect shot and just like, oh, just get out the fucking way, or just crop it afterwards so you don't have a bit of HUD. That really rings true with me.
I had a little experiment with Hitman as well.
Mm.
And the making use of the latest Hitman, sorry, I should say. And yeah, it's that thing that we've all done before as a joke where you exploit the geometry so you can, you know, usually use it to sort of go in the middle of the character's head and you can see these sort of weird bulging eyes in the middle and that kind of like silliness. But I was using it to sort of force the camera into a wall so that the character, you know, can make the character crouch so the character was out of the way, and then try and sort of get a shot like that and stuff like that. Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of kind of fudging, working around your limitations to try and get something interesting.
I'm so glad I'm not alone in doing that and feeling silly about it. So, Jay, what's your history with photo modes?
I was trying to think of this, actually, because, like, I think Dragon's Dogma on the PS3 was probably the first game that I took notice that they had this feature. But it really only became a thing for me once I moved onto the PS4, because the second that I got the share function button, I just thought, this is awesome. Like, this is what I've been waiting for. And the games like MGS5, where you would be taking screenshots, but you'd always have to pause the game, remove all the HUD, and then take the shot because you'd want all that screen furniture away. And it was like that with The Witcher. And it was just like, you know, you have to sort of spend sort of probably about a minute really just going into the options, taking everything off and then turning it back on and then taking the pictures or taking the video as well. And it really, I don't know, I really got into it, but it's probably the game that I put the most time in on was Mad Max. That was the first game where I really started to pay attention to their photo mode and take a lot of photographs. And most recently, obviously, Horizon has like dominated photo mode for me. Really, that game has totally changed my approach to what that is.
And I guess just quickly, we should probably say why it is that we like doing this so much. Obviously, Gary, you're a photographer,
yeah.
So I can understand why you're a photographer and you're an avid gamer, so I can understand why you'd want to cross-pollinate those.
Yeah.
For me, it's more of a just an amateur passion thing. I just see these amazingly beautiful games and think about how much time environment artists must have spent and level designers on really crafting this stuff. And most players just zip through it. So to actually have the opportunity to slow everything down and really stick your nose into these amazing set, I guess you could call them sets, these game worlds, just really, really appeals to me. And then a secondary thing, I love having interesting backgrounds on my computer. So just sort of having a large repository of amazing game images that I've kind of curated for myself. Just a really nerdy thing, really.
I mean, I was looking at Gary's Last of Us photographs, and it's just like, it's amazing how different somebody who has that photographic eye, the way, you know, I take pictures and I think I'm really happy with this. I think it's an awesome shot. And then you see what's like somebody who's got a better understanding of photographic composition or whatever does, and you're like, damn, man. That's like, and then it was like that, plus the fact that I find myself constantly amazed with the detail in the character models now. Like, you've got a few close-ups of the faces, and you're like, I'd never even realized there was that much detail in these character models' faces that when you get to that distance, that when you close in on them to that degree. And it's just like, I find myself, you know, with all these games, just constantly wowed by how much detail is in stuff now, you know, whether it's textures on fabric and stuff. And I think it's give you far greater appreciation of those kind of things as well.
I think when I go through looking for photos, it's a case of, because I've been doing it for so long in real life, it's I do a lot of documentary stuff, photo documentary stuff, or even if it's not strictly photo documentary, if I'm just doing an event or something like that, the process of getting better is there's so many different elements in there. So there's, and the main thing is I'm looking for a story. Like, what story am I telling with this photo? What am I trying to say? When I finish this collection, what is it going to say? What sort of mood are they going to have all, like, overall? So when I'll go through The Last of Us, it's a game that I really like. And so that would be, I think that was my third time through when I did the photo mode. So I wanted to sort of say, well, what's it about? And look at the relationships and look at the characters. You know, I had the portrait of Tess. I think she's the most kind of put upon character in there, and I think she's one of the most interesting and strong characters. And I wanted to get something of her that showed that illustrated that. And so I had one of those in there, one of her looking just completely battered and knackered. And the fact is that's in there, and that's so, you know, you're running around this game environment, and this character's got this expression on her face, and she's got this kind of world weariness that you can very easily not notice at all and miss, which I reckon, you know, a huge percentage of people don't notice or don't care, you know, which is fair enough. But also, I think, like Ton's point, getting added value to how these art assets have been put together. Because another thing I did was do a kind of series, well, in the same playthrough. I'm not completely insane. Did a series of the interiors and the architecture in the game, because actually that's another place where the story is in a really big way, you know. And we know the term environmental storytelling, but it traditionally we saw it in something like BioShock, where you'd pick up a data cube and it had a bit of story on it, and then you wander forward and there's another bit of story and that kind of thing. But I think with something like The Last of Us, when I spent all that time just sort of slowly plodding through the world, taking photos of everything like a sort of tourist in the level, you notice all these details, and there's so much that the artists have put in there that all makes sense in the world and adds to the tone of the story and adds to the sort of the backstory and this tells you how we got hit to this point, and you know, you of everything going through the record stores, you can look at all that stuff, and there's just so much kind of story and everything if you start looking for it. And it must feel, I don't know, it must feel really strange to work on that stuff and then know that most people aren't gonna explicitly notice it, but it is going to add to their experience, but they might, you know, they might even not even know how.
There's two points of view with that. I would say that I imagine a relatively junior environment artist might feel quite proud if, you know, they saw an article on whatever website and says, hey, look at this. I don't know. In Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, I was very fond of the hopscotch or the climbing frame or the rugby posts or whatever. And I did actually corner one of the artists who was responsible for those, an event or something. And I just said, look, you've done some really amazing frisbees there. Yeah. There's just some fantastic like English domestic detail. So they might, you know, an environment artist might feel quite glad to have someone point that stuff out. On the other hand, I can imagine a creative director or kind of overall game director not be peeved, but kind of to them, they don't necessarily want individual ingredients to be noticed. So like if you were a chef and someone complimented only one part of the dish or only one particular spice you'd use, but failed to comment on the overall dish, I would imagine, and this is complete speculation, that a creative director wants those details to kind of fade into the background and just be background, and everything to come together with the music and the lighting and the gameplay and et cetera, et cetera. And it to be more of a cohesive experience, and actually photo modes giving players the chance to really pick things apart might not be their favorite thing.
I think it might be case by case, but I think that definitely, I think maybe the art director would want you to notice both or notice certain details, but then would hope that those details as a whole sort of create, yeah, an atmosphere or a sense of place that just kind of pulls you through. Yeah, as you say, like a recipe, you know, that sort of overall dish, that overall experience. It's interesting. It's like, it's the same as sound design. I've been working with Us Two Games, making a photo documentary on their making of Monument Valley 2. And the sound designer is called Todd Baker, and he definitely has both. So he wants to make the sound so that people don't necessarily notice it as they're playing. They just, you know, that's what good sound design is. You don't notice it while you're playing. It's just there, and it adds to your experience almost subconsciously. But at the same time, if you compliment him on individual bits, he's definitely very pleased about it. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. They kind of want both, I think, sometimes. Going back to that detail and that amount of work that particular artists will put into things, like I know that there's a stage in MV2 that's kind of, it's weirdly colourful, like some like sweets, and when you dig into it, I know that the artist Lauren Kaysen, who made it, she drew inspiration from it was like Licorice All Sorts, Nicki Minaj videos. And something else, I think it was like burlesque or something else like that. And then it made this kind of weird, colourful level. But you could just sort of wander past it almost and go, oh, that's a cool little colourful level, and not know that the amount of thought that's gone into that and the decisions that have been made to come to that conclusion. And yeah, that's just what I saw when I started wandering through some of these games, paying attention to just how much detail there was.
To some extent, to even make the photo mode available in the first place, well, for a start, it feels like, well, we looked up and we think that possibly Gran Turismo 4 on the PS2 is the first game that actually has an official photo mode, certainly on console. But it's a sign of swagger, I feel like. I feel like, certainly with Uncharted 4, Naughty Dog's like, we've got this unbelievable engine. We've got the best environment artists in the entire world, and our game, our rip-roaring adventure, takes you to some of the most stunning locales in supposedly the real world. So have at it. You know, we've got nothing to hide. You can just swing the camera wherever you want. We're proud of every single blade of grass. Look at what we can do.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely a... It stems from being able to show off and being able to say, look at this game engine, look at what we've made, you know, because that's kind of often where the conversation is still driven and has been for years, you know, many, many years. Just how many polygons does everything have, and that kind of thing. There's not usually a great interest overall in art direction from people. No, not many people kind of study it necessarily. They're more interested in, you know, what's the lighting model, and they want to hear words like ambient occlusion and, you know, ray tracing and stuff like that, and go, ooh, you know, it is very much more about the grunt, sort of the GPU grunt most of the time. Still, I would say, I think we're a bit obsessed with that in gaming culture. So yeah, and this is definitely a way of a marketing tool, as you say. There's definitely where it stemmed from, but hopefully it kind of evolves away from that a little bit.
Yeah, and on that point of it being a marketing tool, I mean, with Horizon Zero Dawn, I think Uncharted did this as well. You can actually put the name of the game, the logo. I think you can put a Naughty Dog logo on Last of Us Remastered and Uncharted shots as well. And then it becomes this, I'm sure, what the real intention for having photo mode unlocked, especially from the beginning of a game, because normally it might be a complete game completion unlock, but actually more recently it's been unlocked from the beginning. Having fans be able to stick a logo on a beautiful screenshot means you've just got this incredible user-generated content machine whereby on social media every day, and this is certainly the case since No Man's Sky added a photo mode, you've just got fans pumping out marketing materials. You know, they're not bull shots, they're in-game screenshots, okay, with a filter over it or whatever, but it's this self-generating marketing machine that seems like a PR's dream to me, as long as people are using it to highlight how beautiful the game is and not to make fun of it.
That's the danger, isn't it? That's the double-edged sword. If you think of, since the share mode's come along, you are inviting.
Assassin's Creed springs to mind with that one.
Yes, exactly. Then you also get people sharing.
And then they've got the Kotaku. They've got the Kotaku highlight reel where there's a lot of embarrassing video, but you know, videos of bugs and things.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, with something like Assassin's Creed series, it's never gonna do anything but give it more publicity. And I don't think you can really damage that series. If anything, it'll just put it into the public conversation for a bit longer, and then, you know, they fixed it now, and then all of a sudden, more people have heard of the game. But it could be damning for other games that. Another companies that perhaps don't have the kind of clout to survive something like that, to that kind of derision, you know. I mean, look at people sharing. To be honest, you'd think they would have the clout, but people sharing all the sort of bugs in Mass Effect Andromeda and all the weird things that happened in that game, and the conversation became about that instead of like what is there that's good about the game? Because I know people who've played it and enjoyed it, you know. So it can backfire that sort of share option.
But on the positive side, certainly Jay and I have been pumping out hundreds and hundreds of Horizon screenshots and things like I've seen Jay post about Mad Max, and I'm not hugely interested in that game, but I'm certainly more interested in it, seeing these beautiful vistas and things that keep cropping up in my Twitter feed.
Well, it's become a thing for me now when I look at games or look at especially if I'm going through the sales on stuff and looking for games that have photo mode, it puts them above those that don't in terms of games I might play. Because I like that idea. I mean, it's just, I was saying just before recording, the most recent one was Batman Arkham Knight. And it has a really disappointing photo mode, which is a real shame. Because if a game screamed out for, you know, moody shots, it was that. And they just don't have... It doesn't quite have the functionality I've come to expect from a photo mode, but there were so many shots of like the Joker that I was really happy with, apart from the fact that they didn't give me the function to hide player character, so I couldn't remove Batman from the shot. So all these pictures where you think this would make a great shot if I could just take Batman out of it, you know, and then it'd be like this moody picture of the Joker leaning against the wall, and you can't, you know, and you kind of think, how did they? Is that like, why is that not a thing? Like, and I think it's just something that I want to see within photo modes in general, which is just like a standardized feature set in a way. Cause I think it's like with certain things like removing player characters, it becomes kind of, you want that functionality. You want to be able to, you know, it's sometimes I like taking pictures of NPCs, you know, because you make them the sort of focus of the picture rather than the player character, and having the ability to remove the player character means that's you can do that quite easily.
But let's just talk about that for a sec, because I feel like between Last of Us Remastered, Uncharted 4, some of the other PlayStation titles like Infamous Second Son, First Light, Horizon Zero Dawn, I feel like we're approaching a kind of standardized feature set. You've got your ability to kind of move the camera around, also change the depth of field, remove the player character. Occasionally you get motion blur, which is not always successful. You've obviously got the filters and you can change the brightness and the contrast and add some funky borders and stuff like that. Are there any of those features that you guys particularly love, or that you spend the most time tweaking?
I think the only thing I would use regularly is the depth of field. Anything else is kind of, again, from the photographer's point of view, I just kind of, I never add, really add filters to anything I do anyway. So in my real life work, so because I just feel like, or if I do, they'll add very subtle things. It just feels gimmicky to me. But that's just because I've spent so long doing this. So it's, I don't think they shouldn't be in there for sure. That lots of people get a lot of enjoyment out of them. But personally, I only use depth of field for particular, usually for portraits or just something dramatic. That's about it though.
And the depth of fields are slightly changeable. In Horizon, if you put the focal point quite far in the distance, and so you get the blurred things closer to the camera, it doesn't quite work properly, and you can't quite get it to look naturalistic. But then
you have to combine it, because with Horizon, you've got focal length and aperture.
Yes.
So you've got to kind of work the two to get, like, you know, to get things looking right. But in a way, I kind of think the idea of having aperture settings and focal lengths, it's using actual proper terminology, if you will, calling these things, rather than just sort of depth of field and having like a one slider. I like the idea of making it more akin to an actual photography, you know, and using actual, the correct terminology for something, rather than, you know, because like on the Horizon, you've got f-stops, and it's like, okay, like I, and in a way I feel like it's kind of interesting, because it actually, as somebody who's not particularly good with real cameras, it gives you a sort of real base understanding of what these things do to a photograph and how they change. And I like this idea. And I like the idea that they would make it more akin to actual photography rather than, you know, filters and stuff. I mean, the filters, sometimes I do use them a lot, but you've got, again, with Horizon, you have a slider, so you can give it a percentage. So sometimes it's nice to use like cross process and just have like, you know, maybe 10% of that on, and it just gives it a very subtle effect. And it's like same with like the black and white, you can just desaturate it a little bit, you know, and I like the way that it changes, you know, the way the picture can suddenly just subtly change.
Gary, there's a couple of things there just to maybe draw on your expertise. You have access to Photoshop and your professional skills to kind of change these shots on the back end, don't you?
Yes. I usually put them through Lightroom, which is what I use with my real life work to just Lightroom's more of a photographer's tool, because it puts the photos in an album, and it's about editing and selection and organization. But it does also have tools, but they're all sort of photographer tools. So you're tweaking exposure, and you're tweaking color temperature, and you're tweaking highlights and the darks and the whites and the blacks of the picture. So when I use it's not the same as editing a real life photograph. Well, for a start, the resolution isn't as large. So you tweaks, even the tiniest tweaks, have quite a dramatic effect. So you have to be careful how you use it. But I still use it as if there's ostensibly no difference between what you end up with, a photograph you've taken in the real world and a photograph you've taken in a game with modeled lighting, because you're still adjusting, like, they still end up in the same format, if you see what I mean. You're still adjusting light that is a recording of light rather than real light, if you see what I mean. The principles kind of remain the same with a lighting model as it is to a real photograph, which is quite interesting to play with. But yeah, it's just more about how much you tweak. But you can apply many of the same principles to it, which is quite interesting and quite cool.
my thoughts are kind of going to now maybe the precursors to photo modes, which is, I imagine that for years to take in-game screenshots for marketing, some would call them bull shots, there needs to be tools for people to swing a camera around and get the absolute best shot. And then obviously there's notorious stories of those being touched up afterwards. But it kind of feels like, in a way, photo mode is just giving players access to those tools.
It often felt, when you'd see them back in the day in magazine shots and stuff, where, you know, they would claim that it was like the PS2, they were using shots from the PS2, but you knew it wasn't the actual PS2 game. It was somehow up-resed versions of these pictures, because they always looked a lot tighter than they actually did when they were running. I've always assumed that stuff was just, they would just find these shots during development because they've got the tools to basically unlock the cameras. So they can, you know, they can do that stuff fairly well. Basically what the modders started to do with the PC stuff, which is just unlock all the tool, you know, unlock the restrictions that the player has and just be able to like remove characters and take just, you know, just focus on the scenery and be able and have the free camera. So a lot of what we're getting now is, it feels like it's all stemmed from these, you know, well, from the modding community. I would think more from the modding than from the marketing side of things. That's how I've always thought of photo mode, that it started with the modders were the thing that sort of got people's attention with this stuff.
And I guess we should talk about Dead End Thrills. And as far as I can tell, it's all games where PC games or games on PC where he's been able to crack into it and apply lots of different mods and filters and things. And it's an absolutely amazing website if you're a fan of games and art, because he has a fantastic eye and he can make you look at games, some games that you might not have even thought too hard about, I don't know, like Spec Ops The Line or Bioshock Infinite, and really find angles and NPCs and characters and shadows and things that change how you think about those game spaces.
I think he does what the kind of marketing teams of yesteryear did, but in reverse. So it's quite interesting. So because you have this kind of, as we're saying, with those screenshots, the bull shots, as they're sometimes called, they're not considering, when they make those, you're not considering frame rate and you're not considering performance because you're taking a single shot. So you can put things, you can put the kind of high poly models in there and stuff that isn't going to make it into the final game because of, you know, frame rate issues and that kind of thing and performance issues, and then create something from that. And then later the task is to sort of filter that down and make sure that, you know, you create these lower poly models that hopefully don't look too much different from the high poly, and you know, tricks with lighting to get the performance up, and then that's the game you release. Whereas I think what Dead End Thrills does is he sort of does it in reverse. So he takes the product, the finished product, and then he mods it and adds things that wouldn't be recommended because it would, you know, affect performance. And he, you know, runs it on some crazy ass machine that he has, and then sort of reses everything up and you know, gets into the sort of the cogs of it, and that's what he does, you know, the tech, the sort of the PC tech of it, and brings it back up to something that perhaps they had in the studio or you know, a simulation of that, to create more sort of high def, high poly, sort of very sort of extravagantly lit images. So he kind of does the process in reverse, I think.
And in that way, he really makes you appreciate just how incredibly beautiful games are, and how we're all completely spoiled, and we'll bitch and moan about the smallest things about games or little annoyances with gameplay. And actually, he just swings a camera around and makes you look at Mass Effect 2 or all sorts of games and just gawp in awe. Really, some of his Witcher stuff, Fallout 4, is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I think people just don't think about the amount of work that's gone into them. As you say, it's just, here's the game. I expect it to run perfectly at every given opportunity, no matter what I do to it. And, you know, and if it isn't jaw-dropping, then every second, then I'm disappointed or bored. It is that kind of unspoken expectation, I think, which isn't which I don't know if that's terrible, because then that drives better games, you know, and that means we get brilliant games because that's what people expect. But yeah, it does mean that sometimes people don't start to appreciate just what there is in there, or how it's come together, or, you know.
Well, I suppose the contract between buyer and game maker is, here is a video game that you will play with a controller. Certainly in the case of console games, which is sort of, I guess, our realm. But the contract doesn't necessarily say, oh, but by the way, this pot plant in this corner of a Marrakesh market is really, really gorgeous. And we spent a lot of time on it, you know, and all of this. We should shout out Andy Kelly, who's obviously a big PC guy, who does his essentially Dead End Thrills, but moving, which is his YouTube series Other Places, where it's the same principle. He will break into a game and really make the worlds just look incredible, and he'll use some dramatic music and stuff, and I think he uses sound effects from the games themselves to make these beautiful montages of places that make you want to fire the game back up and go back into games like Hitman, Mad Max, I think he did, The Witcher. It's funny, these games keep coming up as sort of particularly beautiful games that bear well under this scrutiny.
He did one, as you were saying, the pot plants in Marrakesh and things. He did a Marrakesh one, like focusing on the detail on the furniture and the ornaments and things in that level. And it was that you just look at it and think, oh God, yeah, you know, even someone like me, I didn't necessarily notice or appreciate how intricate the detail was in that. And you think, that is actually, there's so much work in this level.
I'm curious if that will be the next sort of evolution we'll see within these sort of share functions and photo modes, is the ability to, like, the video side of it, you know, moving the camera through a world, but being able to control the world. Like remove all NPCs, remove all characters from the world, and just have the environment and be able to cycle through and move the camera around, i.e. like video sort of feature rather than...
I was thinking that, like, wouldn't it be nice to have a photo mode you could turn on the environment effects, you know, the wind or the sound effects and things like that, so that you can take a motion photo, as it were.
I mean, there's a guy on Twitter, and he did such an amazing job that for Horizon Zero Dawn that Guerrilla actually brought him to the studio and let him sort of go around and see making the game and stuff and meet the team. He goes by the Twitter handle, I think, Sunny Legend, and he was making these like little video clips, and he seemed to treat the film. Now people were speculating that he's slowing down the frame rate to 24 frames and adding like or desaturating the color somehow, so it looked like film. And he'd letterbox it as well to crop off the HUD. And he did this I couldn't believe that, and like what he was doing. And I was, and people were on Twitter asking him, like, is this a PS Pro version or something? And he was like, no, it's a standard PS4. And he's just whatever. And it was amazing. And I was like, I have no idea how he's doing this, but this stuff is stunning. But it's just like he was doing all these clips and stuff, and it generated so much word of mouth around it. It was like quite interesting to sort of see how it developed. But yeah, and I kind of thought, look, maybe this is the future of where these kind of features will be evolved into doing stuff like this.
Yeah, there's a guy who I'm really struggling to remember the name of the video series, which is really annoying because it's fantastic. And basically, he's done a series that marries the two things together. He did it with, I know he did it with No Man's Sky. I've seen one with Doom, and I think it was him as well.
Hi guys, I thought I'd drop in here to save Gary's blushes and mention that he's referring to a YouTube series called Freeze Game by Kieran Galaska, who goes by Beard Burrito on YouTube. We'll put this in the show notes.
What he does is he took Doom's photo mode, paused it at like a particularly dramatic moment, say like a cyber demon firing a rocket, something like that. And then he would move the camera really sort of carefully and smoothly and slowly to do like a fly through of the detail of that frozen moment in time, and then save that video of him doing that. and then create like a composite of the of these sort of flybys of frozen moments in a game, and put music and add sort of appropriately sort of ambient music around them, and make this beautiful kind of like just marry those two things. I thought that was really cool actually, because you're almost doing like a 3D photo that you can walk around, and just sort of creating these flybys. That was a really smart use of kind of the halfway house between the two mediums of video and photography. So
earlier GTA 5, you can whip out a camera and take shots. I think you can take selfies in Watch Dogs 2. And then also I saw something about Firewatch, where you could take in-game screenshots and actually have them printed out and physically sent to you by Campo Santo. It was a sort of nice extra little marketing touch.
It's interesting that I've got Firewatch. I haven't actually played it yet, but it's ready to go when I've got a bit of a nice stretch of time to myself, uninterrupted time to myself, which is as a dad doesn't happen very often. But at some point I want to do that and get those photos sent to me. But I quite like it. The difference. I quite like having those two different approaches, because with photo modes in, you know, something like Uncharted, and you are sort of a bit more like a film, like a director of photography on a film set, because you can set up everything, you can set up the lighting, you can freeze everyone, you have as much time as you need to sort of slowly put people in place, and if someone's in your way, you can delete them, which is, if in real life, that'd be so useful sometimes when someone's ruined a really nice shot, you just remove them from shot.
Or just from existence altogether.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Depending on how annoyed I am with them. But I appreciate the two of them. So you've got, you kind of a DOP role there, because it's a film set and you can control everything. So you can tell someone to move out of the way because they're not, you know, they're not adding to the shot or something like that. You can do that. You can change the lighting a bit. You can adjust things. With the photo modes where it's a camera, in-game camera, you have to wander around, you can't control every element, and that adds a bit of chaos and kind of interest. And it's you could argue it's closer to a real photography experience, like especially something like GTA, where you're wandering around a virtual city with people interacting, and you know, this sort of simulation of street photography essentially. So things will happen. You take on that role of kind of opportunist, where you set yourself up in an environment that looks like something interesting is going to happen, and maybe, you know, you're looking for set to an interesting composition that you found with nice lighting, so you've picked a certain time of day to go there. And then you wait for something to happen. And that's quite interesting, because that is much more similar to a street and documentary photography, where you have to get yourself ready and sort of for something that you anticipate might happen in this place. It's cool actually, but the GTA one I found a little bit disappointing, because they make you, again, it's not that the intention isn't for you to have that kind of experience. The intention is for them to engage you more with the product. It's very much a marketing thing, because you can only save them at quite a small resolution, and then they get uploaded to the Rockstar Social Club, which you have to log into to look at the pictures through their photo viewer, and it's all, you can't really pull them out, you know, and do anything with them. So it's very much, it's not designed for you to go and create interesting things that you can take somewhere else. It's designed to lock you into their stuff and then drive traffic to the site, and maybe you'll click on something else while you're there, and maybe you'll buy a different Rockstar game. You know, it's all seems to be very much marketing driven, as opposed to like, see what you can make out of the world, which feels like a bit of a missed opportunity, because I really wanted to do something meaningful in that game, but it's very difficult to do so with the way they limit you.
Yeah, I found, I did wonder initially if that was because the game was initially on the previous generation, and whether that restricted the functionality side of it, I have no idea. But I found that on the PS4 version, if you use the Rockstar editor, so they've sort of video editor, you can pause that stuff.
Yes.
So you can then remove the like the HUD elements, like the edit tools that are visible, the play options and stuff. You can remove that, so you've just got the shot, and then you just use the share function on the PS4. Because I hated all that stuff where you had to go to the website to get stuff. And I didn't even like using the Snapmatic feature in the game anyway, because I just found those precious few seconds it took to bring out the camera and line up the shot and stuff, I just found it really cumbersome and really sort of unintuitive in terms of how it worked. Especially now, as things have gone now, it feels really backwards. And it feels like if they'd accommodated like a more conventional photo mode into that game, it would have, not that it, I guess, you know, it's hard to say that GTA really suffered from it in terms of publicity, but I think it would have made it a lot easier for people to tweet and spread their pictures through social media.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you're more, it allows you to play at being a photographer more. It's almost like a little meta game within it, which is another valid way of doing a photo mode. It's quite fun. Like I remember quite a long time ago, I got together with a lot of the Midnight Resistance lot online, and we had a big, you know, like a 7 or 8 of us had a multiplayer like mess around session where I was sort of pretending to be like a war photographer or a, you know, conflict photographer. And I'd be running around trying to chase everyone else, like doing whatever they were doing, robbing places or causing trouble. And I was trying to like take photos of the chaos, you know, police fights and things. And that was really like a really fun thing to do, because I'll be honest, I'm way too much of a coward to ever go and do real conflict photography. so you can do it with consequence free was kind of fun. So it's interesting to have those two sides about, are you doing it to use it somewhere else as a genuine art project, or, you know, is there also space for you to play being a photographer as a game, as opposed to with the intention to create some art from it, if you see what I mean.
Tourist earlier, this is one of my pet things, is that take Uncharted 4, you go to some absolutely incredible locations that, let's face it, most of us will never get to go to on holiday. And even if we did get to go to Madagascar or these amazing places, we wouldn't necessarily be able to hang off the side of a mountain or a rock overlooking the stormy seas. So in a way, the game already serves that function that you know, you get to go to these amazing locations. But also with photo mode, you get to really explore these amazing locations at your leisure. You pause the game and you can see what it's like to look over this beautiful Italian vista. And a slight side point is, certainly with Uncharted 4, it basically ruined the game part of the game for me, because I was spending so much time taking, because it's such a beautiful game, I was taking so much time, like literally every 5 to 10 seconds, I'd turn a corner and there'd be something amazing to look at. And I'd have to stop, turn on photo mode, and it completely ruined the flow of the game for me, because it was unlocked from the beginning rather than I had to complete the game and then photo mode became unlocked. And even worse in Horizon Zero Dawn, because you could change the time of day, which shows off this unbelievable kind of real-time lighting model, but also it gives you so many infinite options. I could spend hours and hours and hours in photo mode not playing the game.
Particularly in a game like Uncharted 4, you know, there is a flow to that game. It's a linear kind of single player experience. And yeah, I did the same. I totally ruined it. I was pausing every other second, which is just because I can't help it anyway. When I'm taking photos, whether it's in my downtime or whether it's for a job, or, you know, I'm always I can't put the camera down until the batteries run out and I'm like, right now I can relax, you know. And so that problem very much extends itself into a photo mode in a game, where I just completely ruin the flow of like the opening segment in that game, where it's supposed to be quite fast and dramatic, where you're on the boat chase. I was just pausing it. Oh, there's a good splash there. Pause. Photo mode. Try and get there. I'm thinking this is completely, you know. So there is that as a problem. The only reason it was okay in Last of Us for me is because it was my third playthrough, and it did enhance my appreciation and my kind of love for the game because of that, because I'd already played through it at the pace it was intended, and this time I was going to study every corner of the game and get a real sense of that place and who was there, and it really made it that much more believable and important to me. But it was because I had played through it without a photo mode before that.
But they've turned you into, and this is a slightly separate point in terms of value for money when you buy a video game, but if it comes with a photo mode out of the box or one is patched in fairly soon, it gave, you're now a sort of dedicated Naughty Dog repeat customer. You know, you're looking forward presumably to their next game, assuming there'll be a photo mode from the beginning unlocked that's going to possibly have you playing once, twice, three times just to see everything.
Yeah, definitely. I'll have to, I presume it's going to be in Last of Us 2, but I'm going to have to really stop myself using it the first time through. I'm going to have to ban myself from using it and then play through it again and then take photos possibly.
That's interesting, because I've never really thought of it as a negative, because the way I've always seen it is you'll pause to take that picture because you might not be able to line that shot up ever again, even if you play through the game. You know, there's certain sequence of consequences that might just lead to that, what you consider that perfect shot. Now, with the game itself, I can always go back and play it again later. You know, like the game itself is repeatable. But, you know, those moments might not come around again. You might not be able to create or recreate that scenario. And so I've never particularly been bothered about pausing and stuff. But I do appreciate that you do it all the time when you're playing. Like, you know, you're constantly like turning a corner, pause, you know, and then it's just, you know, you can spend, the only time I will admit that it has become an issue is when I've spent half an hour trying to get this shot, and then you just realize that it's not a good one.
Yeah, yeah. You're just sort of like, yeah,
what the hell? Yeah, and you just quit out and then keep going.
Also true of real life photography.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, so just two points there. I felt I was never, certainly with Shadow of Mordor, which also had a reasonably good photo mode, in the middle of combat to pause to take some great action shots. I tried my best in Horizon to do that, where I'd be like, I'd deliberately do a mid jump or get into a fight deliberately so I could take some good action shots. But during the most dramatic fights, I'd never remember to press it. And then I'd be like, oh, I should have taken a photo of that, even though it would have completely ruined my experience of the fight. But Gary, you're just about to say, in real life, there's that, presumably that feeling of just, oh, you know, oh, that's great, I'm going to line that up. And then you sort of look at it and you're like, nah.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think there's, like I say, there's a lot more parallels than people think between the two, because it is essentially the same thing, including that feeling of that Jay was talking about but this shot's never going to come around again. I can't, what if I miss it? And I think after a while, you learn that's it's madness to do that, because there's always going to be a shot that you miss. There's always going to be something, because there's just so many possible, you know, interesting images you could take in any one shoot, you know, real life or otherwise, that you've got to, part of the development of yourself as a photographer is to know that just don't let it pass. Let that moment pass. Don't take it. You've got to learn to not take photos as well. It sounds like when they say about jazz, it's the notes they're not playing, but it is true. You know, you've got to learn to not take photos as well and be okay with, you know, oh, something happened then, but I didn't get it, but it's fine. Because that's another way where you can overload yourself with information. But it's interesting that also crops up in this kind of photography as well. But he's gone to the Rapture, which I did a series on. That doesn't have a photo mode, but you can completely remove the HUD elements because there isn't really many anyway. And that, going around acting as photographer in that, you know, just getting lining up and doing screenshots, was essential in making me appreciate and enjoy that game more, because I scoured every corner and I didn't feel like I was having to slowly plod along. I didn't feel like, oh God, I'm just trying to get to the next story bit. You know, I was enjoying myself all the way through because I was stopping and taking photos. So there was, I wasn't in a rush.
I had two different experiences with that game. I had that experience where the first time I was like, oh, I've got to take this screenshot, got to take that screenshot. And I think that's a very, very small team. I know some of those guys, and the engine was creaking as it was on PS4. So I don't think they necessarily had the resources or technical chops to be able to put in a photo mode that would, say, be able to add verticality without breaking the whole thing. But like you say, there's no HUD, so the whole thing is a walking photo mode as well. However, I think I had more fun the second time I played that game, deliberately not taking any screenshots and actually focusing on the narrative. And I got a pencil and paper out and actually started writing a kind of map of where all the interactions happened and what relation each character had to each other. And I definitely felt I had a better second playthrough because I wasn't worrying so much about, I've got to take a picture of this, I've got to take a picture of that. And in fact, some of these games, you can kind of release that anxiety if you know that someone with a really good eye like you, Gary, is going to do the job for you. And then you just go on the internet, find your best shots, download them, and job done, instead of going to all the effort of doing all the PS4 and then going to the capture gallery and putting it onto a USB drive and then getting it onto your computer and then sifting through them and deleting the rubbish ones, et cetera, et cetera.
Particularly if you don't have like that kind of photo editing software to be able to quickly select and compare and, you know, mess around with them. That would be a complete nightmare. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, just curious there, because you just mentioned you do exactly what I do, which is put everything on a thumb drive and load it onto the desktop. Now, I'm just curious if anybody here uses the, you know, straight to social media share function on the consoles, because I never do.
No. I mean, I had a 1,300 Uncharted photos. So no, I got them onto my computer, and then fortunately in Mac OS X, it's got some decent, the preview function, and you can kind of press the space bar and it pops up and shows you the image, and it's quite quick to kind of really rifle through them and delete the ones you don't want.
I'll do it as a kind of a teaser. If I sort of think, oh, that's good. When I finally get around to editing these, this will be a good series. I might just go, might throw one up through the share function there and say, I think I'm going to do a proper photo series on this game, you know, and just like throw up like a teaser. But apart from that, no, definitely don't put them out that way.
Is there anything that you guys would want to say to developers of upcoming, say, AAA or indie titles, in terms of whether they should or shouldn't unlock a photo mode from the beginning? I guess it depends on the type of game. It would have served, I think, No Man's Sky really well, and serves Horizon really well to have it unlocked from the beginning, but maybe a narrative game like Uncharted 4 should lock it off until you've completed the game. And is there anything, particularly features of photo modes, that you'd like to maybe ask a particular developer, maybe Rockstar, to say add to Red Dead Redemption 2, for instance, or message you want to tell developers about photo modes?
Just to quickly touch on that, when you unlock a photo mode, I think it should still be unlocked from the beginning, but I think you should... It should kind of be your responsibility to try and not be tempted to, you know, to sort of ruin your own game with it, because I don't like things sort of being locked away if they don't have to be like that. You know, if you feel like taking it, then you should be able to whenever you feel like doing that. I think the photo modes we have now are going to stay largely the same, because even with it, you know, you're always going to be struggling against something, even if you're trying to take photos in a game that doesn't have photo mode, compared to, you know, Uncharted or Last of Us, I was still having to struggle against certain things. Like if I wanted a picture of the architecture, the camera has to center around a certain character or a certain area. So you're still kind of fighting with the geometry. You're still banging into the walls because you're not allowed to clip through things and what have you. So you will still find yourself fighting the environment a bit to get what you want, and then coming sometimes coming to a compromise out of necessity, I think, because there are certain areas that they're not going to be allowed to let you go into for various reasons, because there will be sort of gubbins and behind there and the secrets of how this level's put together and what's being obscured by what, you know. Sometimes developers have to use tricks like that, you know, and they might not necessarily want you to see that. So I don't know if there's going to be much added in terms of freedom of the camera, but I think it's more about having that kind of ability to use real camera controls, because I think actually that is a good trend that more games should take note of, because for people who are interested in photography or maybe slightly intimidated by it, when you can play with f-stops and shutter speed, you can see how that affects the picture in real time without any kind of consequence, without being worried about, is this the right setting? What should I do? Like, you're seeing the picture immediately and how it's going to affect it. So I think that might be a nice sort of pathway into getting more people interested in photography in general or feeling more comfortable with it. So I think maybe standardizing things like that might be a good way to start.
As far as I'm concerned, as long as everybody takes the photo mode from Horizon Zero Dawn and puts it in their game, I'm happy.
Yeah, well, complete with all that time of day stuff as well. Incredible.
The time of day slider is the thing. Like, I think that alone was the one feature that really made that photo mode like pop to me, just really sucked me into it. It was just the ability to change lighting to that degree. Like, it's the only game that I think there are other games that have done this. I think somebody mentioned that Drive Club has a weather slider where you can change the weather effect. But I hadn't played anything that did this. And the sort of just the ability to totally change the way a photograph looks based on where the position of the sun was in the sky meant that it just, the amount of time you spend doing it is tells you straight away that it's like, okay, this is a real pull.
And you can always tell someone's first Horizon screenshot because they get the sun right in the middle and you get that unbelievable lens flare. It just like chops the image in two. And that tends to be as far as people get with Horizon photo mode, I think. They just take that one gorgeous. And then you get a bit tired of it after a while because you're like, yeah, it looks good. I know. Let's try and do something more interesting here.
And be slightly devil's advocate and say, I'm sort of from a slightly purist point of view, I'm not that keen on the idea of changing the time of day and weather, because I kind of like the idea of recording a moment in time, like a virtual moment that's happened. There's some things come together that are out of your control, because that's kind of what I love about photography. And you know, I do everything I can to set up something with the intention of creating a certain kind of image, but then the random factors are what makes it special often. So if something just so happens to come across a particular shadow which creates a composition that you weren't 100% anticipating, that's kind of where the beauty comes from, this kind of force that no one's controlled that's created something that's not entirely your creation is something that I really love about photography. So I kind of don't want to be able to control the light. I'm thinking of, you know, playing Red Dead and I'm doing something particularly important.
Oh man, I'm like completely the opposite with that. I want that slider on that.
But then it'll just, you'll just be able to make it perfect high noon every time. And but what if you had a gunfight and it just so happened to be noon where you shot someone, and then there's just this kind of, I don't know, but that is very much my problem.
I mean, with Horizon, it's a magic trick, isn't it? You know, you move that slider about and you just get to see the sheer brilliance of the lighting model and the weather and the clouds, and they're just showing off. Like I say, it's a swagger, pure swagger on it.
Yeah. It makes me think of when they were releasing Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, and they were showing the kind of the real time gameplay, and as they were doing it, someone was just like flinging the time of day slider around as they were playing it, and it was just going day night, you know, and it's just an impressive thing to see.
I think my only thing that I would say to I'd say to companies, stay open, you know, learn from the PlayStation family with this share button, you know, keep doing photo modes, keep showing off your game and your engine. don't worry too much about potentially bad shot people taking bad shots or like you say, Gary, clipping into things or trying to break the game or show it off. And it's worse, like, I think keep being open and giving fans the opportunity to show how beautiful a game can be. And maybe the next thing on top of a time of day slider could be turning on the weather effects, turning on maybe even NPCs walking around or something, so that we can start finding a halfway house between taking a static shot and Andy Kelly's kind of other places approach of having a still shot, but you get all the weather effects and maybe shadow playing across things.
What I would want them to see is, like, if you've got a photo mode in your game, embrace it. I think from a developer or publisher perspective, is embrace the photo mode. I think all too often I've seen it in a game and you'll be tweeting pictures, and even if you're atting the developer, there's very little response from them. And it feels like, you know, like, I get it, you're busy, but, like, you've got community guys that should be on this. Like, this is why you build communities. And when you see, like, certain developers, I know they've been name-checked throughout, throughout this podcast, but Guerrilla have done a blind... Not only did they create what I think is a benchmark version of a photo mode, but it's the way in which they worked with it and handled it from their community.
And patched it to improve it as well.
Well, yeah, but, like, all that stuff is just extra. It's the way in which they, as a studio, embraced it and worked with people to get the most out. You know, constantly retweeting their pictures, constantly commenting on people's pictures. They've run a competition for like 9 solid weeks where they were taking two of their favorite shots every week and giving them prizes and stuff. And I think it's interesting. Like, that's what I want to see. That's what I think developers should work with, should improve upon, is utilizing this as for what it is, which is not just like a, you know, it shows off their game to an amazing degree, but it also engages with the community. And I think that's where its real benefits can be shown. I mean, it does make me wonder, like, if with No Man's Sky, if that photo mode had been in earlier, whether some of the sort of somewhat harsh negativity that was building up towards them at the start could have been negated somehow.
I absolutely agree. And full disclosure, I work with Laced Records, which put out the soundtrack to No Man's Sky. So, and also run Laced's social media, so I sort of have a vested interest in promoting No Man's Sky as a whole thing. But that got so much easier when these amazing photo mode shots started coming out, and suddenly the community of people who do love that game had a voice, and they could really promote the central core idea of the game, which is to go out into the universe and see weird ish and just come across really wonky, weird, strange stuff and have 5 moons in the sky and a giraffe dwarf thing wandering around with a funny face.
Yeah, it's all about the exploration. And again, I agree with that, but also full disclosure, I did a year's worth of documentary on Hello Games as well, so photo documentary. But yeah, I think if they had that photo mode in at the start, it would have sort of added to the message that this is a kind of a game about just exploring and seeing what you find. And that might have been, actually, if they'd have put a stronger focus on, no pun intended, on having a camera, even more of a GTA-style in-game object, that could have added kind of a level of gameplay, a way of connecting the player to their purpose a bit more even. So, yeah, it's interesting that what photo modes can potentially add to a game.
Using cameras in game, so Spider-Man 2, I think on the PS2, you had to take as part of a mission, because obviously Peter Parker's a photographer, you have to take a photo in the game to actually complete one of the missions and get to the right angle.
Oh, you do that with Gravity Rush 2, because that it was another game that had a photo mode, but it's actually part of the game itself where you get given a camera and you have to take photographs of people. and it's not a photo mode in the conventional sense. I was actually quite gutted with that because I was thinking like being able to sort of manipulate, you know, free camera around these cell shaded characters could come up with some amazing shots, but it doesn't work that way at all.
And there's some other good examples. Life is Strange is not. It's an indie game. It looks beautiful, but it's not, say, particularly high res models or something. There isn't a photo mode. However, you are a photographer, and the game talks a lot about your eye, and you literally attend photography class. And as a sort of a collectible, you're always looking out for things to press the square button and take a photo of during the game, which I think adds a really nice kind of dimension. It helps tie you to the character. As far as I can remember, though, is it Metal Gear Solid 1 that's the first?
Yeah, you've got a camera
in-game
there, yeah.
Missions.
Yeah, you have to take pictures of stuff. Yeah.
And I don't know about Fatal Frame games particularly, but there's also that Pokemon Island game where you're going around taking photos.
Yeah, those are games. Those are more mechanics. Yeah, where the camera is essentially replacing like a sniper rifle, isn't it? A down the sight sort of gun. But isn't it another interesting way of using cameras in the game as a game tool?
Just want to ask Gary, have you got any plans to play Horizon at any point?
I think listening to what this photo mode is, I might have to. But again, I might end up not really playing the game.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm only interested in seeing your photographs. It's that sort of thing where you see, like, you're constantly looking at the feeds and thinking, you know, you think you've got a good grasp on it, and then you see what somebody's done with this, and I sit there staring at these photographs, thinking, how have they achieved that? Like, and you're looking at, like, you know, how they position the character, and I, funnily enough, the other thing with using photo modes is you find yourself watching idle animations all the time because you're waiting for that one moment where the character will scratch the back of their head or something, and then it's like that's where you want to take the picture. I did that with The Last of Us. It's like there's a point where Joel sort of rubs his arm, and it was like, yeah, I've got to take a picture. That's where I've got it. So I sat there and had to wait like 5 minutes or so just watching Joel in this one position till he did the same animation again.
That's the one problem with Horizon's photo mode early on before they patched it, is that Aloy has quite a dead face. She's got these quite dead, glassy eyes. Now, when you zoom in completely on a face, the skin texture's unbelievably detailed. It looks great. But so I actually found myself deliberately trying to not take pictures of her face. And then they patched in a few different expressions later on, which go a little way to kind of improving things.
That's interesting because the Naughty Dog games have always had that kind of, that's always something you realize, is that especially Last of Us and the Uncharted games, and I think this is before a photo mode consideration was in place as well, they're always mugging and the faces are always moving, and because you'll take a shot and you'll pause it into photo mode when you're just in the middle of a scaling something or taking a shot from a gun, you know, shooting a gun or doing something like that, or you know, hitting someone, and you'll zoom in and they'll be pulling one face or another, or I always remember with Last of Us with the photo mode as I ran through, and their faces would always fit. It's just such detail. The faces would always fit what was going on. So if they just had an argument or something, you'd look in and Joel would be looking very, very unhappy, and Ellie would be looking like, you know, a bit worried, or what do I do now? And I thought, God. You think that's all the way through, isn't it then? Because you can do that whenever. And actually, that sort of detail is kind of staggering, really. But yeah.
Well, Aloy does stuff like that in the game when you're actually playing her. So when you're fighting, she'll have like these pained expressions on her face. If she gets hit, she has like an expression of, you know, like, you know, wincing.
Yeah.
But it's when you're just sort of static that she just goes to this blank mask. But like they've done now where they've added, like, so when you pause into photo mode, you've got poses. She's got like probably about 15 now, I think, which is like just, you know, one with her hands on her hips and stuff. And it's all these different positions, which given the environment, you can really sort of manipulate. Then they added a separate slider for expressions. So she has all these different expressions, which again, you mix and match. But it took me about 2 weeks to realize that if you press L3 when you're in photo mode, she looks at the camera, wherever the camera is.
No.
Yeah. And I didn't know this.
Don't tell me
this
now, man. I just took like 1,000 bloody pictures.
So, like, you position that and she'll, like, just, her head will follow the camera around so you can get her, so you can actually turn her head. So what you do is you turn her head off to the side and then unclick it so her head stays where it was. And then you can, like, move the camera around so you can get her looking at different stuff. And I'm like,
oh, you're really upsetting me now.
And you should have heard me when I found out. I was sat on the sofa and I'm like, how did I not see this? And I was cursing the screen. I'm like, Kai, my wife, was like, what's the problem? I was like, Dave, I've just realized now they must have added this like weeks ago and I've only just fucking noticed. But it's just, yeah, stuff like that.
Can you change your expression in post, as in like during the paused moment? Can you change your expression as well?
Yeah, so you go into the photo mode and on the first sort of section of options you've got, which is you've got the bottom two, they added like expression and body poses. And so you can just switch between them and stuff, which...
So you can also, there's quite a lot of room for comedy there, I guess.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Sort of like combat shot.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of them are deliberately silly. There's a lot of kind of...
Having a winking at the camera whilst like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Landing a perfect arrow in someone.
There's a lot of anime stuff and kawaii kind of poses. And also, you'll be stood on a rock, but you can change the body pose, so she'll be like hovering in midair in this really weird pose. So it sort of breaks it a little bit.
It's nice that they let you do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's very fan service-y.
Yeah, but clearly they've... I mean, I wondered where the decision for that came in, you know. I mean, I'm assuming that it came in quite late and they just saw how people were utilizing this photo mode. Or maybe it was very early on in terms of like, if the photo mode takes off, we'll add these down the line. Otherwise, we won't bother. But it's just like the expressions in particular, I just thought were incredible because the difference it'll make to some of the shots when you've got her standing behind somebody and she's giving like this side look through her, you know, through her eyes at the person standing next to her. Like the difference it makes is it just really adds so much character to some pictures and stuff. And then you see how people are utilizing this and sort of manipulating it in such a way that you hadn't thought of, you know, rather than just these conventional kind of poses and looking at the camera facial expressions, they've kind of, you know, you see how people get creative with this stuff and make it, you know, like there's one where she's holding a hand out. And I think the body pose is like humble or something, but people will position it so it looks like she's holding the sun in her hand and palm stuff. And it's kind of,
it's like in real life where you go to the Eiffel Tower and you stand a certain distance back and it looks like you're touching the Eiffel Tower. And because you can turn off depth of field, you can manipulate it to make Aloy look gigantic next to a building in the distance or something like that. So all of those kind of cute, fun ways you play with real life photography, especially like holiday photography and memories with friends when you're younger, it brings that what the patch did is bring a certain amount of kind of comedy elements and adjustables for, I'd say, more casual. I'd say a lot of the poses, because I was trying to do, you know, serious screenshotting, I probably didn't use a lot of the more fun stupid stuff because I was like, oh, that's too silly. But I can imagine people just dipping into it to have a bit of fun were delighted by some of those things.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's the conclusion. Horizon Zero Dawn is the one to beat.
Yes.
And I was so tempted to just buy Wipeout Omega Collection off the bat, even though it's a lot of tracks I've already played, just because of the photo mode. I was like, oh, damn it. Got all these games. I just don't need it. But... God damn it, I want to take some photos.
Yeah, but like with that, I've looked at that and thought, aren't they just going to be a lot of the same kind of shots? Like, because it feels very limited in terms of the scope of your pictures. You know, you're either going to be taking them of the tracks or of the vehicles. Whereas I think with me, I'm looking at, like, I love the open world stuff, because you can go and, like, with GTA, you know, I spent so much time just looking at the litter on street corners and going, oh my God, look at that. Look at the detail in this world. And it was always those bits going, you know, complete. I mean, I've maybe I'm doing it a disservice, but it feels very, very limited in terms of Wipeout stuff.
I think you have to have an interest in that kind of, same with the racing games photography. If you really care about cars, then that's fantastic. But I don't really have any interest. But I could see how some of it might appeal. But you are essentially just sort of focusing on particular details and making them shiny. It'd be cool. It's the kind of sci-fi version of car porn, right?
I disagree, because when I was taking shots during the original Wipeout HD, you can actually, because of the design of the Wipeout games is obviously impeccable, you know, these amazing futuristic cities, but there's also tracks that are done in a Tron style, and you don't have to point the camera at the cars.
Yeah. Okay.
Or the hover buggies. You can just pick out a nice bit of scenery and do a nice black and white shot of some futuristic building that some artists spent a long time putting in.
Ah, well, that's good. And if you can do that, that's good.
Yeah. And with the, say, the neon levels, I think that's Wipeout Fury, if I remember properly, you can generate quite cool neon colorful artwork that's not really a photo. It's more of a sort of interesting design thing. And that, I guess, that's an entirely separate point with photo mode, which is that you can use these modes to actually create, not just take a photo as such, but actually use them to generate an image that you might want to put on the top of your blog, or you might want to use for social media that doesn't even have to be related to the game. These modes can help you generate really high quality images. Okay, you don't own the copyright, and I don't know actually where the copyright sits with all of this stuff. I should imagine the companies are very open about all of this stuff, unless it's an article with a shot of a different game and you're saying explicitly, look how great our game looks, and you faked it and it's actually, you know, defraudment. But other than that, I'm pretty sure you can use these shots anywhere you like and no one's particularly going to come after you.
Probably don't make things on Redbubble out of it, like mugs and t-shirts. But
yeah, well, that's another thing, yeah. But how would you know? I mean, if you took a shot of a particular tree in Horizon Zero Dawn.
They'll know.
Yeah. I know for a fact that Rockstar have a team in New York whose sole purpose is to scour the internet looking for stuff. And it's like they just seem to like anything from leaked broken NDAs or information that shouldn't have been available and that sort of stuff. So yeah, maybe that goes to like asset use and stuff as well.
But where does copyright lie? If I took one of your photos, Gary, and claimed it as my own,
yeah,
what happens there? I mean, fair enough, you come after me on Twitter, but
his Twitter followers and puts them against your Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
set my followers on you.
Have a follower fight. But you don't own the rights in the image, or do you? I don't think you do.
What, you mean if you're claiming you took it, you mean?
Well, if I just, you know, pass off if I take one of your whatever Last of Us shots and just put it on my Twitter feed and don't credit you, obviously that happens.
Oh, so anyway, you mean specifically with the game?
Legally speaking,
I don't know.
You,
yeah,
lined up the shot in the game. You had the eye and the artistry to kind of create that image. However, everything in the image was created by the environment artists and art directors of the game team. And presumably somewhere there's some small print to say that the developers own that image.
There's probably some small print specifically relating to the photo mode.
Yeah, I would have thought there is on the PlayStation.
Creative works, yeah. You know, deriving from it. Yeah, there's probably all owned by them, essentially.
But hey, this is the internet.
But yeah, who knows?
So that's the end of the podcast. I'd like to remind you that you can venture over to our forum at caneandrinse.com/forum. You can also get in touch with us at Cane and Rinse on Twitter or find us on Facebook. I've been Tom Quilfell. I also serve as the community manager over at Lace Records, which puts out video game soundtracks, including vinyl editions. I've produced a few game music composer interviews for Cane and Rinse's game music podcast, Sound of Play. So please be sure to check those out. Thanks to Jay and Gary for their time, and thank you all for listening.